These are the droids you're looking for.
Over here!
Death Star alert.
You're looking for.
This is madness.
It blew my mind when I read about it.
No, it's 100% going to be the best film in the franchise.
This is madness.
Star Wars is only now starting.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? You talking about
these are the droids you're looking for. I felt nauseous with just pure excitement.
These are the droids you're looking for.
Why isn't it December 15th already?
And then I saw the Porg for the first time speaking. And I'll tell you what, it really whets the appetite.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.
Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. We are done with our winter hiatus. We have had more than enough time to mull over all of The Last Jedi to the point that we can now get into our rankings of the entire saga that I don't even think I can call the Skywalker saga anymore. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike. Thrilled to be back with you. We're also going to get to the final chance for you to enter into our poster giveaway contest, which ends at the end of the month, and that'll be their last opportunity. But before we get to all of that, I think off the top, the news has been light, to say the least, about Solo, a Star Wars Story. And I'll present it to all of you by asking, what is going on with this film? How have we not seen even one sliver of footage? And we're 4 months away from it premiering in theaters, the next Star Wars film that we all get to see. We know nothing about it.
Well, I think it's a sign that they everybody who's maybe seen an early cut or seen some of what Ron Howard's done is just looking at it and kind of recognizing that it's so incredibly good that they can just save all their advertising money, and word of mouth opening weekend is going to move all the tickets that they expect it to.
Right.
Because why advertise? Just, like a lot of major motion pictures, like if they're confident enough, you'll just notice there's no ad campaign.
I heard, I have a friend who works at Disney, and they said that, they overheard someone speaking to Ron Howard, and they said, Ron, got to tell you, bud, even when you come in halfway through a movie, you still manage to make it thoroughly mediocre.
Oh, geez.
That's rough.
It's as if no one made this movie, they said. No fingerprint whatsoever.
What if they see it and they're just like, there was no changes made?
I heard after he was done, when Ron showed a clip to Bob Iger, he was pretty upset because there was just a bunch of shots of Tom Hanks's Jim Lovell cut in.
Yeah, right. Inserted. Exactly. Yeah,
they already made a space movie.
I think we should alter
to the moon.
I think we should alter our plan.
I think there was a line where he says, Yavin, we have a problem, and Ron Howard's been looking at everyone going, eh? Eh?
Oh,
eh?
I think we should alter our plan for this episode, and Ryan, you can just rank all of your Ron Howard favorite films, go through them right. 1 through, what is it, 12 that he's made?
I'd love to do that if I could remember anything about them as soon as they're over.
Oh.
I'm ranking them all at the bottom or the top.
In the heart of the sea. Not a fan of In the Heart of the Sea, are you, Ryan?
Right.
I mean, I love the color yellow as much as everyone else, but...
Nah.
Well,
I mean, I think there's probably some separation. Last Jedi's still in movie theaters. There's got to be a little bit of a pause in between Last Jedi and Solo, because we saw people getting confused with Rogue One, and that was like a year later. So I have to imagine they know that this movie will sell, or maybe not.
I thought I was the king of generous readings.
I mean, it's still a Star Wars movie. It's still like people are still hungry for it. I think your average moviegoer is going to still want to see this in the theater in the lineup. I'll equate it to like a Simpsons episode currently, like a new Simpsons episode. It's probably still the best thing on TV in that time slot.
Oh my god.
And Solo will definitely be the best Star Wars movie released that weekend.
Yeah.
Or exactly. In the year of 2018, where there's only one Star right. Wars film being released.
I actually left my number one slot just open because I knew it's just going to change.
Do you think they will push the movie back at all? Do you think
no.
that is the chance?
Now that we're close, we're 4 months away, I don't think they will. And the only hope that I have, and I kind of brought this up with all three of you when we were together recently, is that they haven't called the film off in general, which to me makes me think that there must be something redeeming about it, that they feel like it is going to be a successful film narratively, whatever the creation that Ron Howard has brought in. I just think that they have enough casual movie fans who don't even know that this movie exists right now, that if it was a disaster, they could get away with not even releasing it. I know that's not true for all of us who are so hardcore into what's going on with the entire release schedule, but we talked about how people were so confused about Rogue One, didn't know where it fit into the overall storyline of the canon, how it worked with the saga. They thought it was maybe the film that was supposed to follow The Force Awakens in Episode 8. I talked to someone who was confused for the entire movie about that, which is still shocking to me. So to me, there's enough people who are naive about this entire situation that if they wanted to, they could punt and say, we're not going to release this movie. And yes, they'd get some bad flack, but I don't think that they would end up having as bad a problem if this movie is as awful as it seems to be with all the issues they've had.
Also, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time, even in the last 2 years, that Disney has pulled a rabbit out of their hat when it comes to these things. I mean, you know, like, Rogue One had a seemingly troubled production. It doesn't seem as they were a little more open about it with Rogue One.
Yeah.
I feel like this has been this strange thing. And when we were at dinner the other night, Sam, you mentioned like this movie comes out in 4 months. There hasn't been a,
it's 4 months.
I mean,
away.
There's been a poster ish, but like not really.
I mean, to put Disney it in is like, burnt. Go ahead.
To put it in perspective, like, you know, I was following, I was following the Justice League movie, which was we were talking about also at dinner, and I felt like it was pretty much a garbage fire of like a huge tentpole in terms of like how it was made and like what it ultimately delivered. But it's like that movie, like that was a very troubled and very publicly troubled production, and there were like trailers for that like 2.5 years before it came out.
and they advertised
so much of the movie, and it's just it is crazy to me that there is a huge potentially Star Wars movie with I think arguably the most popular character in the franchise, and they are like they are keeping this thing under wraps, and I don't think it's a good sign.
We haven't even seen a trailer that's like a silhouette of the Millennium Falcon with like just like ambiguous dialogue underneath.
Right.
Like the last line being someone being like, who are you? And then the word Solo, you know, like.
Right. There hasn't been anything that's like he's flying too fast. And then like you just hear voices from the movie. I mean, I think what Disney has burnt a lot of their goodwill by like all the other like public firings. I think they like they can't afford to really make this part of the story now of the movie. Like, it's too close to release to be like, yeah, we went through 15 different directors and 30 screenwriters, and here we go. I think what it's still a Larry Kasdan script. I call him Larry.
Do you think he called Bob Zemeckis to ask him to read?
He called Bob Zemeckis. So that's one thing going for it. And then two, maybe they are trying to like pitch this as like the small Star Wars movie, right? Like if there could be such a thing, maybe they're kind of saying like, hey, this is going to be your kind of like close to the vest kind of Star Wars movie.
Right. No, you can't even say that seriously. You're laughing while you're trying to say it. No.
Ryan, you pitching the dialogue that could be in that trailer just made me think, please don't let there be a moment where he says, I don't want a Wookiee as my co-pilot.
Oh, my God. There's going to be all of it.
Who's like, the Wookiee?
Think about this movie and, like, how they've already said we're going to find out how he gets his name and all that stuff. And then think about who's directing it.
Yep.
Everyone's middle favorite uncle, Ron Howard.
Oh, man. So harsh on Ron Howard.
It's going to be really awkward when the only guest we get on this podcast ever is Ron Howard.
Right.
Oh, I'll be
Ron
nothing
Ron Howard to saying, to. Listen to the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, put that at the beginning
think
of every episode.
How much my ultimate prediction for this movie, and I'm going to state it now, and again, this was some dinner because we talked about this during that dinner. We could be out to dinner right now. But is that those dice, in some way, I believe that Princess Leia in this Solo movie will have held those dice or have had something to do with those dice. And somehow,
no,
coincidentally, Han Solo is going to pick them up and they're not even going to have known each other yet.
No.
I that's my prediction.
I can't because help it. Honestly, you know, I think my prediction for this whole movie is that it's going to feel like a giant eye roll to me. You know, like that feels like what I'm predicting my reaction is. Now, maybe that's a good sign. Like maybe not being super hyped for it is going to help me to like go like, you know, that thing of like low expectations, you end up like being like, you know, it was pretty good. Like maybe that's the best case scenario for me is that I come out thinking, wow, that was better than I expected. But like, I can't see myself getting excited. I mean, the best version of a Han Solo origin movie that like we would have would be like we got it a few years ago with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1.
Yeah,
like sure. That was like, you know what I mean? That was like they clearly ripped Indiana Jones and Han Solo and Star Trek and Star Wars and mashed it all together in something that people like felt was fresh and fun and throwbacky. And it's like, why are we doing that again with the same character?
Sam,
I understand. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Sam, that your sound bites from the last thing you just said, we could easily turn into some kind of bizarro intro for the podcast. I will roll my eyes.
Listen, I understand that I'm being down on Ron Howard. I'm making fun. And before anyone out there thinks that I'm going over the top, you know, or anything like that, let me ask you guys this question. Who do you think Clint Howard's going to play in this movie?
Okay. Okay.
Clint Howard, a cameo or a career cameo or possibly the Ron Howard of cameo people.
He's sort of the Brian Doyle Murray of the Howards.
What X-Wing pilot do you think he's going to be in this movie?
Look, if he reprises his
saying, listen to the droids you look.
We actually probably could get Clint Howard. Legit.
I just want him to reprise his role from The Waterboy. That would be my favorite version of a Clint Howard performance.
That'd be nice.
I will say that maybe I'll be the deluded outlier into somehow just naively thinking that this movie could be good because of the rumors that the script was great, even though could you trust Woody Harrelson? Because he said it was one of the better scripts that he's read. I think the cast is fantastic. I love what Larry Kasdan has always done in the Star Wars universe. I'm just crossing my fingers. The only reason that this movie is being released is that Lucasfilm knows something we don't, and it actually is good, and it's going to be a surprise. And Sam, maybe my expectations will just be that low that I'll be pleasantly surprised. But I'm being naive, possibly, and I want it to be good.
I mean, I think we all want it to be good, right?
No, I believe you all do, but maybe you also want to just pile on to Ron Howard a little bit more, Ryan.
Well, I mean, listen, did I mention Ron Howard in this? I don't remember.
I don't recall.
I don't remember anything I say about that guy.
I think that brings us to, well, actually, the last thing we'll say about the Solo movie is that there are rumors, or at least there are projections that because we haven't seen anything, we could see the trailer during the Super Bowl. Force projections.
The big game.
The big game.
I don't want to get a cease and desist.
We can't say it here on the pod. We're not selling anything, so I think we can get away with it. So the big game, but whatever you want to call it, the superb owl,
football game. It's a super football game.
Is that what is the Super Bowl football?
Ryan, you know it's football.
You hit a grand slam.
Oh, man. I think it would be the best time to drop footage considering that no one is expecting it and you need to get something out there at some point.
That makes sense. When you mention that now...
I'm laughing because I'm thinking if you just said, Ron Howard, when you just got to get something out there.
Well, what's the date that Black Panther comes out?
February 20th?
It's soon. I think it's February 6th or the 16th.
We've had trailers for that, though.
So I know we've had trailers for Black Panther.
Sam, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know why you want to see an old Black Panther trailer during the Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying, oh my God. I'm suggesting that would be a great Disney property to attach a Star Wars trailer to.
Yes.
Especially if you want to make sure that people, you know, come out for for, you know, the first superhero color. Not that I think it, I don't think that movie needs that to sell it. And in fact, that might make me stay away.
Jeez.
I doubt that.
Solo thing.
The Han Solo trailer. The Han Solo trailer. Oh, boy.
Yikes.
We shall see. And I look forward to.
This is Clint Howard.
Chris.
Where do you guys want to pick up this edit?
I look forward to talking about the footage whenever we actually see it. I'm still kind of believing there's a chance that we might just get a press release and we never see anything of this film. That would be a weird situation to never even see
that
a moment
would be
of it.
Bizarre.
That would be amazing. That would be so much more memorable than whatever this movie.
that would make me want to see the release. Movie 100 times more. Like, that could be the ultimate selling point. I would pay $10,000 to see this movie.
Oh my God, could you imagine if they held a press conference where they had to, like, you know, get Ron Howard there, he apologizes, they say that we're not going to release the movie, and then it becomes this thing that's, like, passed around. Right. Like, someone I know who is an editor, and they had a cut of it on a DVD.
Yeah. You know,
Tobey Maguire made a cut of it.
That's a good time to live in New York, because there will be, like, midnight screenings, like, underground screenings.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Fanboys 2, The Search for Solo.
There it is. Ooh,
oh,
like
nice.
Don't try to do that shameless plug to cash in on the coattails of the fanboy's success.
All right, let's move into our rankings, because I think now we have the updated rankings after we've put in our time to really put all of our deep thoughts into The Last Jedi. We've had a couple episodes that we've talked about it. I'm going to start with Chris and let Chris lead things off here. Start with your worst Star Wars film up to your best.
All right.
And you know, keep it light, keep it breezy, and get into it pretty quickly.
Yep.
I have a quick question. Are we I know you guys have told me this before. Are we including Rogue One or
No, it's just saga films.
Thank you. Okay.
Only saga. Okay. So number 1 is Solo. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, so I was thinking about the order today, and I think this is where I'm landing at the moment. Again, this can change. This is just at this moment in time. At the bottom of the list, I'm going to say Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. There's something weird about that movie. It's too transitional as far as like the movie tech itself goes. It just doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie in my opinion, although I like it, but it's kind of the outlier, and maybe because of that I'll like it more later on. Number Episode 3 comes next.
Are we doing everybody ranks, or are we gonna go around?
We're just going around.
I say
I
we,
go...
we
go
do you want me to go through
the planning of I this podcast go... was impeccable, we have to admit.
I say we go around. Shouldn't there be more?
I think it should be around.
Yeah,
I
let's go around.
Go around.
All right, Sam, you're up next.
All right, Sam, do your bottom
this is
two.
This is the number 6 spot that we're all saying.
What? Sam, do your bottom two. Sam, do your
number 8. Number 8 is the bottom of the list, and my least favorite of the main saga films that we've seen so far is also Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. I don't really enjoy watching this movie too much. I don't know. I don't have too much to say about it. I think it looks the worst, and I think it's kind of like the least compelling bit of like any of the first 8 movies in the series.
And your number 7 spot?
And my number 7 spot, Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
So I'm going to jump in here, Ryan, because I know you're going to have a different ranking probably than the three of us. I'm going to say Attack of the Clones is 8 for all of the dialogue, for that romance, for everything about the monstrosity that is Attack of the Clones. And I will actually say, in a very slim margin between my 7 and 6 films, I'm going to go with Phantom Menace as 7, even though there are parts of that maybe I enjoy more than my number 6 pick. But that's where I'll go with my bottom 2.
So my number 8, I have to say, when I was compiling this list, obviously I've thought about this before. This wasn't the first time, but I wrote out all of the numbers first, and then I had to write out the titles to make sure that it looked right to me. that it was like the list looked just. So my number eight is The Phantom Menace. It's certainly the Star Wars movie I've watched the least. It's the it feels transitional. It's kind of halfway between this like fully digital world that he realized that obviously is polarizing and the kind of old world of live action. I just enjoy it the least. So my number seven is Attack of the Clones. And I have to say there's a big gap between those because I genuinely enjoy Attack of the Clones. Where Phantom Menace, it's a little bit of a more of a slog to me. And yeah, so that's my opening too. Now I guess we're gonna go one at a time now.
What were you talking about, eyes and rolling, Sam?
Eyes will roll.
All right, well, why don't we go now to the sixth spot and you can just keep going. Well, we don't need to do two at a time now. So Chris, do your six and we'll go on.
All right. So number six is going to be The Phantom Menace. The more I watched it after a rewatch and the more I thought about it, I think it's the strongest of the prequels. It feels the most filmic. It still has some of that old Star Wars feel to it. And I think it's like, I like its place in the Star Wars timeline also, that it's like, what is it, like 10 years before episode two and 30 years before the original trilogy. I just think it's an interesting time zone.
For my number six, I also have The Phantom Menace. So far, Chris and I are in firm agreement. And this one, I guess, like this one is definitely of the prequels, the Star Wars movie I watched the most. And it's all about that Qui-Gon Jinn. I love that goatee.
I am going to go with Revenge of the Sith as my number six film. Honestly, I feel like that ranking came from our rewatch and the build up to The Last Jedi, because we talked about how it actually corrected some of the issues of Attack of the Clones and The Phantom Menace. It became a little bit more focused, even though the performances and there's still bad dialogue and there's issues in there. I just felt like it was the most comprehensible of the films of the prequels, and so Revenge of the Sith is my number six.
I have to say, before I say my number six, because I have a feeling I'm going to be a little bit more of a controversial figure on this podcast. So it's tough making these lists when, like, the things, when you're supposed to assume that, like, the ranking is going from bad to good, you know what I mean, like from being like a bad movie to a good movie. I love all of these movies, obviously.
I think we can all just you don't need you.
We
you
like
need
Star
to be,
Wars, right?
You don't need to be nervous, Ryan. Because look, we are all of us on this podcast. We are Star Wars lovers. We love all the films. They're right. All our children. But sometimes you have to pick a runt of the litter.
Sometimes you got to kill the younglings. You know what I'm saying?
There it is.
Oh boy.
There it
My
is.
Number six is Return of the Jedi. The silence is terrifying, and this came about on this rewatch as well. Watching it, I realized that it is certainly what used to be my favorite movie when I was a kid is now the weakest of the original trilogy to me. I feel like it shows its age the most of everything. So yeah, I mean, obviously I love it, but it's Return of the Jedi number six. For anyone doing math, there's going to be some arguments coming up.
I think the top is where we're going to run into it, interestingly.
Wow.
Chris, you want to keep it going?
Yeah, keep it rolling. All right. So, kind of go off of Ryan, what are we at?
Number five,
right? Number five, Return of the Jedi. it's a little bit more derivative of the first two movies. They found the good parts. I mean, I like the action. There's the sequences in Return of the Jedi are amazing. Like, they've honed in the special effects and everything. It looks great. The special editions, that whole song and dance number. I think that also has influenced my like choice in that. I think it's like the most like butchered of the three re-releases.
Yes, for sure.
Of the special editions. And like, I think that hurts it a little bit. But like visually it's super impressive. Like if we had a different scale of like, just like effects wise, I'd put it towards the top, but, I think just overall, that's it's earned its number five place.
I at number five, in really wanting to keep with the tradition so far, I have Return of the Jedi also. Matt and Chris. Now
we didn't talk about this before.
You two lived together, didn't you?
Here's the we lived together a long time. We've probably seen all these movies.
Yeah, late at night when they were talking. But, Chris, what's your number five rated Star Wars?
But I did land on a pretty solid reason when I was thinking about, or at least for me, like I think I hit on what it was. And I think for me, the thing that keeps Jedi, you know, sort of significantly below, you know, the other movies in the original trilogy for me is, I think the location of Endor is ultimately just really underwhelming. I think when you have in, you know, the first movie is like, it's in like a desert and the Death Star. It's like super sort of foreign and exotic locations that feel otherworldly. Then you go to Hoth and Bespin and, you know, a cave in an asteroid belt, super exotic, super like foreign, you know, otherworldly. And then the Redwood Forest just doesn't, it feels so earthbound. And I know there's, you know, part of the intent, but I think that for me, like just grounds it too much in like a world I recognize, and just takes away just that little bit of the magic. So yeah, that one drops a few points for me.
Also a world you recognize from the other movies. We literally go nowhere new in Return of the Jedi. Like we go to Endor, but it looks like Earth.
Yeah.
No, but it looks very earthly. And then we're on Tatooine, which we've been on. And then we're on a Death Star, which we've also been on, which is interesting. I never really thought of it that way. That's interesting, Sam.
We're on a sail barge. We've never been on a sail barge before.
That's true.
I'm going to go with my number five spot as a bit of a controversial pick, and I imagine I might have some arguments with this, different than Ryan would have. I want to use the word that Chris did in terms of derivative. Even though I love this film, it's The Force Awakens at the number five spot. And the reason I say that...
Waiting for it.
Well, there... Look, I actually love watching this movie. When we had the conversation at dinner the other night, I still think it is maybe the most fun out of the, what, now three films that we've seen in the new era of Star Wars. I could watch it endlessly. It's a great Star Wars movie. I just didn't feel like I got a whole lot that was new, even though Kylo was a great character and a character that I was so excited to see where he would go. The special effects were great. There was just too much that felt familiar to me. But that being said, it's still wonderful. I just like these other four more.
I'm right there with you, Mike. I adore this movie. My number five is The Force Awakens. I absolutely love this movie. This movie is ice cream on a hot day.
It is.
And it introduces us to characters that I think are great and amazing and are more richly developed in the following movie. And I think this movie is exactly what we needed at the moment it came out. And I agree with you also. It is one of the most watchable Star Wars movies, if not the most watchable movies I've ever seen. And total I love agreement. It's one of those things that I'm like, it is dessert, and that we needed dessert in that moment. Yeah. And so that's just what's keeping it where it is.
And JJ's very good at dessert.
He certainly is. It is impeccably paced, that movie.
All right. Number four for Chris.
Number four. All right. Well, we've broken into some new territory, and I'm going to keep it going with episode eight.
Oh, come on.
I like it. I love it, but it's just it's not there yet for me. I think it's an amazing movie. I think it's an amazing Star Wars movie. I am not falling on the side of the dark side with it. I just think, as far as the other movies are concerned, that episode eight still has to earn its place. Maybe that'll change when nine comes out. But it hasn't earned it yet.
Guys, I feel like I'm one of the two boys in the back of class that need to get separated and moved across the room because my number four is episode eight, The Last Jedi. I think I will say this. There is, for me, a pretty there is a this is where the gap is for me. Ryan, you mentioned that between like your seventh and eighth ranked films, there's like a jump for you.
Yeah.
I would say this is where the gap happens for me. I kind of like Jedi and the prequels, like love them to death, but they all occupy like a certain like level of rankings. And I think these top four that we're getting into are ones that are going to jump around a lot. And depending on the day of the week that we record, you know, it might be different, but I absolutely love this. Go back and listen to the initial reactions. I still feel the same way. I've only seen it once. And I do think that from a watchability standpoint, I think I'm going to still probably go back to the others a little bit more. I think The Last Jedi is going to be that, you know, that big meal that, you know, eat your vegetables in a good way. Like, I love vegetables.
Sam, my skin is crawling right now.
So. I've seen it once. I don't know. What do you want me to
do? That's exactly why my skin is crawling, is because I want to talk to anybody who's seen the film once who has made, and I know you're not definitive the way that some people are on the internet, who are so definitive of what they think of this movie. I want to say, see it again. See it again. And I can't wait to actually hear you on this podcast after you've seen it a second time.
But I mean, yeah, but you know. I do want you to.
I've seen it four times, and that's, I love it. The same ranking.
I love it. Four is not. I you know, we'll see, but four is not a bad ranking for me.
I know, Chris, but maybe I just ignore you. No, I'm kidding.
Annie,
who's Chris?
My number four film, Return of the Jedi, and I don't have the issue with it being grounded in Endor, similar to a home planet, because when I saw it, and again, I was a kid, it made me think, oh, Star Wars can be in the world that I know. And maybe that's not a good thing, but there's too much in it to me that caps off the story that began with A New Hope that I love. The end scene with Luke and with Darth Vader before they added in the giant no that they put in the special edition is beautiful, and I talked about it when we did the rewatch for that. I can't get enough of Luke saying he'll never turn to the dark side. I think that final lightsaber battle is filled with so much that I you know, there's so much more context, subtext to what's going on between Vader and Luke, and even though the Emperor only is there to shock him from time to time, I just love that entire final sequence, and it did feel like something new to me because it was, up until The Force Awakens, the best space battle that we saw in Star Wars.
So my number four is Revenge of the Sith. Our episode that we did on that is one of my proudest moments. If I was in the Academy in my in memoriam, they would play that entire episode.
During the Oscars.
Yeah.
Sorry, people, right, it's an 8-hour show.
Right before the most famous gaffer that died that year. But I adore this movie. I know that there are problems with it. I know that this is not a popular choice, but I absolutely love this movie. I think that it gives me that feeling of weight that we had been waiting for so long in terms of the change that happens in the universe in this movie. I think that the prequels really hit their stride, and I also think that it provides a vision the likes of which I have never seen before on film. And I understand that that is not necessarily a good thing to people, but it is unlike anything else I've seen. And for that, I appreciate it. And I also love the story in this one so much. I think that it really is fulfilling a lot of promises that we were given. So yeah, number four, Revenge of the Sith.
There you have it.
I'm glad all you're right. Being true to yourself, man. I love it.
I like it, Ryan.
I love
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, we're moving on to number three. All right, here we go. Final three. What's it going to be? Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Whoa.
Whoa. Wow.
Mixing up the order a little bit here.
Wow.
I think it's the one that started it all. I think for that reason, I think kind of the rewatchability factor goes down a little bit because there's a lot of work to be done and there's a lot of stuff that, like, I already know what happens. I'd rather just catch the characters mid-action. But I mean, this is really challenging at the final three here, so I had to make a decision, and I'm giving it to Episode 4.
Guys, we had a good run. Me and Chris, we were close for a long time. Best buds, some might say. But in the third ranking for me,
I would never say that.
For me, I got to go with the Force Awakens for my third slot. And this is this comes down to me for what you guys have already said: the watchability, the ice cream on a summer's day factor. I will throw this movie on anytime. I think it is so much fun, and I absolutely adore the new cast for episodes 7, 8, and 9. And I think like the magic of like meeting Rey and Finn and Poe and Kylo Ren like works on me every time. I get so excited thinking about like that first meeting of them. I think they're also cool. So yeah, it comes down to that JJ special sauce, that magic pacing and great casting. So yeah, that's my number three.
My number three is The Last Jedi. And it's only because it's very difficult for me to do anything with my number one and two. They need to stay where they are. They're going to stay that way for a long time. The Last Jedi, I talked about why I love The Force Awakens, Kylo Ren. It amplifies Kylo Ren's journey, and Adam Driver's performance in this is going to be looked back upon years forward from now as one of the best that we have seen in the Star Wars universe. I really feel like, especially the moment where he says, "Join me," and then finishes with the please and the angst and the desire and just desperation to get someone to join him. I just was blown away by his performance, his journey. Everything in this movie feels more well-crafted, more well thought out, and is setting us up for a world that no matter what direction it goes, even if 9 isn't great, I feel like the possibilities that have been set up in 8 are something that shouldn't be understated. It's a wonderful, masterful stroke by Rian Johnson to take what was given to him in episode 7, and I only think that this movie is going to grow on me even more as time goes on. I don't think it can rival 1 and 2 on my list, but I love The Last Jedi, and I cannot wait to go over and watch it again and slow it down and watch it frame by frame and see all the choices because there's so much masterful craftsmanship in this movie. I think it's brilliant.
You say that Adam Driver's performance is the best you've seen in a Star Wars movie, and they'll be talking about it for years to come, but just it's a little premature. You haven't seen Clint Howard's performance in Solo yet. You just don't know. My number three is A New Hope. Obviously, this is the movie we all fell head over heels for, and I love it. It's like you guys said, the top three is tough. You know, it's like, how do you even choose? Talk to me in 20 years and say, Ryan, who is your favorite wife? Who knows? You know, but
oh my God. Wait, do we want an edit point in here?
We know Nicole's listening.
Joke. It's a joke. But yeah, it's obviously my one and two. I have my feelings as to why those are a little above this, but you know, what can I say about this movie that hasn't been said before? Mm-hmm. It's absolutely beautiful. It's perfect. It's a quaint little movie that could, and it changed all of our lives to the point that we're sitting here recording a podcast, and yet I still put it at number three. So, New Hope, number three.
All right, here we are, number two. Here we go. Empire Strikes Back.
No, Chris. I think we should just do two. We should just do two and one, and just double up here because you need to explain
just
both.
Double up. All right. So Empire's number two.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. That's my reaction because we just gave away what Chris's one is.
But obviously, yeah, I think that makes the most sense because we're going to give away what number one is each time. Empire's number two for me. Simply, it was my introduction into Star Wars. It was the movie that kind of got me into movies and all that good stuff. And as Star Wars fans, we know that Empire is the benchmark. And it's hard to contend with that. But I think that the feeling and the excitement and the build up to The Force Awakens and then having The Force Awakens deliver, that's an experience that like I just didn't have before. I think I was like, As an adult, I was able to kind of live that experience. Maybe that says something. But I feel like leading into The Force Awakens, I think just like the excitement, the buzz, the hype, and then having it actually deliver was something that made me like that movie has a special place in my heart. And you can, and I can live vicariously through not only like the movie itself, which is very hopeful, but you can also like live vicariously. It's like through the production. It's like J.J. Abrams was this guy who like basically only wanted to make Star Wars as a kid, and then he got to make Star Wars as a kid and cast his best friend. So I think all of that like accumulated is like, to me, that's why it's my number one, Force Awakens.
Nice.
Oh, nice. I love it. I love it. Well, let me just start as I get to my number two here. As an adult, I thought about the top two movies. Also, I realized all I've been thinking about the last couple of rounds is that whenever I said like The Last Jedi was like eating your vegetables, I was trying to remember what we said, and I was like, it's like a full meal as opposed to dessert. And I like said vegetables, which was such an insult. So I need to correct that. I meant like it's a hearty meal, but it like you gotta digest. Anyway.
All right, you're not under my skin as much, Sam.
We're getting back to number
protein. It's protein.
We're getting back to number two. All
right.
And he's back. It's Empire for me also. Empire is a great movie. It's probably the Star Wars movie I watch the most. I think that's going to continue to be throughout the rest. I like Hoth and Bespin are my two favorite locations that we've ever been to in Star Wars movies. Darth Vader's helmet is so shiny. It's like introduces the music. Everything's blown up and expanded. It's so, so, so good. But it only works because you love the characters from the number one movie, Star Wars. It started it all. It's the perfect story. The three narrative strands of your main characters come together in like the best like fist bump moment of any of the whole Star Wars saga. The original blowing up of the first Death Star. You have Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi. It introduces you to lightsabers, the Force, like it's so magical. And it starts with like two bumbling robots for 20 minutes in the sand. And it's the best thing I've watched. It's so good. It's my favorite.
A New Hope is my number two. And it's a very razor thin margin between number two and number one for me. All the reasons that have been stated, the trench run, everything about A New Hope. It really, as you said, Ryan, this is why we're all here. I can't downgrade this movie. We don't get number one if we don't have number two in my list. So I love A New Hope. I still think it's, I would argue probably between my one and two every day of the week, as we say. It could change like just like that. Empire, to me, where A New Hope had to do the heavy lifting that you mentioned, Chris, where it has those moments that are a little bit slower that you're trying to get through because they need to establish some things, Empire has none of that. It is a movie that I can't find flaws in, and it introduces one of my favorite characters in the history of cinema in Yoda. Not only in the Star Wars universe, but in all of cinema. And I get to experience him in his purest form every time I watch that. That is the form that I always like to think of Yoda in. And we've seen it in the other films as well. But I love Yoda's introduction. I love the way he's teaching Luke. I love the pearls of wisdom that come from him. And I love everything about the battle between Luke and Vader and the moment that we get the unveil. I even like the way that Luke reacts, even though it's a bit crazy by Mark Hamill. I think it's a perfect film. I would watch it constantly every single day, and I probably will after this podcast.
So my number two is The Last Jedi. This was a kind of a strange realization to come to, but I absolutely love this movie. I love it for so many reasons. In a world where I feel like The Force Awakens, a movie I obviously love, was a potentially an amazing homage to the Star Wars we loved before, I feel like The Last Jedi like firmly plants its foot into the saga and brings it all together that way. I think that the characters are beautifully handled and deepened, characters that we already loved, and like characters from 30 years ago that we already loved, I feel like are deepened. It's a scruffy movie. It's imperfect. I think that part of me loves it more because of that. And it also gave me two or three of the best movie moments I've ever experienced in a theater. And you can't really no movie owes us that. So I feel like it went above and beyond in terms of experience. I'll never forget how I felt when I saw that throne fight scene the first time. And that brings us to my number one, which is Empire Strikes Back. I assume that everybody's number one would be The Empire Strikes Back. I thought we'd have nothing to talk about.
Wow.
I think that this, I mean, it invented a deepening of character in sequels for Star Wars movies. And it's just, there's not a moment wasted. I think it's a beautiful movie. I think it works completely. And for something to depart so much from the first installment in a saga that was so successful was a really brave, creative move. And there was a world that we lived in that there was a world people lived in where The Empire Strikes Back didn't exist yet. And then one day it did, you know, it's
poetic.
And that's a beautiful thing. And I'm grateful for it. So my number one, Empire Strikes Back.
There you have it. The list. Wow. Send us your list as well. droidspod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Chime in. Again, you can enter into the contest for the podcast for the poster that is being given away of The Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. Many different votes on where The Force Awakens listed in this overall ranking. But you can get the poster, which you can find on our Facebook page as well. You can send us the email at droidspod. That's all you need to do. No purchase necessary. 18 or over, and you can win that poster. It ends here in the next few days. Get your entry in before January 31st, and we will announce a winner beginning in February. Guys, I think that does it for this edition of the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Any last thoughts before we get ready for our next pod, which will likely be talking about Solo footage that we hope isn't terrible?
I can't wait.
I can't wait.
It won't be terrible.
This is Clint Howard.
No other thoughts from me. I see it. It's good to be back, guys. Happy New Year. Happy 2018.
Yeah, happy New Year. Happy 2018. I'm excited for this year. I think we're gonna have some fun.
Chris, how many days until the next life day?
Oh, we got, let's see. One
Chris,
month.
Quick math.
T-minus. I can't. 3:30.
That will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Join us next time.
These are the droids you're looking for.
This is madness.